My favorite is the credit line. Now, a credit line is not a credit card with convenience checks. Let's just be clear about that. A credit line is a credit line where you have checks where you can write a check to your checking account or to a offer, and that check is viable right then and there. Right now, the inventory moves so fast, they're literally requiring cash offers, right? I want to know a cash offer.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the show. Today, I am very excited to introduce our guest for the day, Merrill Chandler. Merrill, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited, too. I love your focus. So, everybody, Merrill is a high-performance fundability coach, basically a way for real estate investors to actually get what they need in order to apply for loans and actually get mortgages, et cetera. I'm going to let Merrill describe it for you, but that's a very important topic. So Merrill, why don't you take us back in time and help us understand how you got into this space and why?
Sure. Actually, it's a fascinating story. 30 years ago, I co-founded Lexington Law Firm, which is the single largest credit repair law firm in the country today. While it was a fascinating experience working on credit repair, I began to realize that you can't repair your way to getting funding approvals. Just deleting a couple negative items isn't going to all of a sudden say, oh, here's a business line of credit. The lender's not going to say, oh, hey, here's a mortgage. There was more to it. And when I started, so over the course of the next few years, I started kind of connecting dots and doing the math to find out, and we call it fundability. Fundability is the ability to be funded. And what I learned, and this is crazy because it's counterintuitive to everything that our listeners have learned, but your credit score does not help you in a single credit approval ever. Never has, never will.
That's interesting. I want to hear more about that.
Yeah. You are actually approved by lender software, whether it's business lender software, personal lending, mortgage lending. You're approved, and then your credit score determines the interest rate and the term and how much they're willing to lend to you, because they measure risk. So the less risk you are, the more money they're willing to give you. But the question of whether or not you get approved is 100% up to lender software and has nothing to do with your score. So that's one of the first things that people who come into my, become a member of my tribe or come into my influence, is they're like, what the hell? How did I not understand that the score is relatively meaningless to get approved?
Cool. So Merrill, do you primarily work with real estate investors?
Real estate and business entrepreneurs, but probably 65-70% of my clients are real estate investors, because they love, imagine having a business credit line, 100,000, 200, 300,000, write a check, take down a deal. That's my perfect customer.
I love it. So why don't you break down for the listeners who maybe aren't familiar, why is it so hard for real estate investors to get mortgages?
There's a couple, and it's not just mortgages, it's any kind of funding, right?
And when you say other kind of funding, can you break that down as well?
like business loans, business lines of credit that you can use for real estate. Even personal loans and personal credit lines besides just mortgages. But one of the things that's fascinating is that everybody believes that you have to be W-2, or many people believe that you have to have an awesome W-2 income to even be considered for a mortgage or to get a business loan or business line of credit, whatever you're looking for. Everybody thinks that you have to go through what's called manual underwriting or full doc, right? Here's the other secret I want to tell you, that lenders hate full doc as much as your listeners do. Nobody likes to pull out their tax returns and their financials, right? 12 months of bank statements. Nobody likes to do that. Well, lenders don't like it either, because we've been led to believe that they want all this information. No. Remember what I said a moment ago, that the score doesn't help with your approvals, regardless. Mortgages, credit cards, credit lines, business loans, your score doesn't help. But what is being measured are what I call the FICO 40. There's 40 borrower behaviors that lender software, when they review your credit profile, they're looking for behavior patterns. Those 40 patterns are what get you approved. Then the score, of course, helps with the rate and term or the amount. But these 40 borrower behaviors are what are being measured. So it's fascinating to understand that lenders trust the measurement of these 40 borrower behaviors more than they trust your full doc. That's why they want us. And it's called automatic underwriting.
So what kinds of borrower behaviors are they tracking?
Let's go over a few. First of all, are you paying on the exact due date? Most people like to say, yeah, I pay a couple of days before, but you don't get bonus points for paying a couple, you know, like your credit card bill a couple of days before. They measure the fastidiousness, and especially if you have an auto draft to pay either the minimum payment or a standard amount or the entire amount. But if they are in control, if the lender can measure that you have an auto draft scheduled for that payment, boom, those are high value borrower behaviors. A low value borrower behavior is, let's say, if you have multiple versions of your name, your address, you got multiple phone numbers on your personal information, and you aren't consistent in how you apply for credit. Because remember, we're data sets now. We're not people. Nobody's looking at us and looking at our driver's license going, huh, yeah, that I think that's you. They don't do that when you fill out an application online, right? So they're measuring, who am I borrowing to or who am I lending to by measuring how many versions of their name? Like before I knew what I was doing, I'm telling you, it was like one application was Merrill Chandler. Another one was Merrill R. Chandler. Another one was Merrill Ray Chandler. And so now think of your software. Now you're the brain of the software. How many borrowers are represented here? You know what I'm saying? So that's what automatic underwriting does. And here's an example your listeners will relate to. So I ask your listeners, how many of you in the last few years have filled out an online application or even at a branch, and they came back 30 seconds later, 2 minutes later, you got an approval, right? No human being looked at that application. It literally passed muster or you didn't. And the crazy thing is that you might have gotten approved for a lower amount than you requested, or you might have gotten approved for a higher amount than you requested, all based on the trustworthiness of your borrower behaviors that are being measured.
Very interesting. And so does this apply for mortgages as well as other types of?
Yes. Okay. So mortgages, use a FICO software that's known as 542, meaning there's specific algorithms, and all the land safes and the credcos and all the big mortgage credit bureaus, right? The mortgage credit report providers, they combine all the data from the three different bureaus and apply a custom algorithm to each one of the bureau data. So all that data is in there. Now, if the data doesn't match, then your profile is less trustworthy. If Equifax has, let's put it this way, if there's 20 point difference between any score, your highest and lowest score, you're likely to get a denial because the data is not trustworthy. Why would there be a 20 point difference between a higher and lower score? So some real estate investors don't know the rules of the game, and as a result, haven't tried to sync up all the data that's reporting on their credit report. And so you may be all over the map. Your data, somebody, Equifax may know me as Merrill Chandler, and Experian knows me as Merrill Ray Chandler. And so they put in these warnings that are like, gotta verify. It's not as quick of an approval. And all these data points need to match up between the three bureaus to get the best rate, the best term, and to get the approval.
So you mentioned one way to get them to sync up, which is using the same name. I mean, whenever I look at like my different scores from the different ones, it's just a puzzle to me. I'm like, well, I have absolutely no clue how they got different answers, right? Like, I mean, I didn't do anything. It's just the information's just out there.
Most people don't know, most of your listeners won't know that you actually have a significant amount, if not total power over what's being reported about you. So Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax are simply databases of information. But there's also LexisNexis, Early Warning, there's FICO Falcon. There's all these databases that have data on us. There are ways to clean up and synchronize all of these different data points, and hence why I do what I do. Nobody wants to do this minutia, but this minutia is getting either low approvals or denials, because all a mess. And if the software doesn't trust who you are or who they're lending to, they're not going to lend.
So that's all very fascinating. Can you give us, just so that we understand kind of what's possible, what kind of credit facilities are you talking about? Like, can you just give an overview, or like, you know, like loans or lines of credit, et cetera? Like, yeah.
So mortgages are the last bastion of manual underwriting. But right now in Congress and with the CFPB, which is the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, there is a movement in the current administration to even move mortgages into automatic underwriting. Rocket Mortgage is an example of where it's as fast, you submit electronically the documents, but you still got to submit the documents, right? So I would say over the next 24 months, even mortgages are going to become automatic underwriting. Now, the reason why I say this is it does not matter the credit instrument. It could be a $5,000 credit limit on a Wells Fargo credit card. It could be a Chase. It could be a credit line. It could be a mortgage. It could be an auto loan. Everybody is going to automatic underwriting, and they're fact checking your data. Your data is scattywampus, then you become less fundable, or you get lower approvals. And so that's what I do, is I teach people what are the rules of this game? What are the 540? What do I need to do? And then when you align your behavior with these borrower behaviors, you are a rock star to the lender. And my goal is to make you the perfect lender client.
Yeah. I mean, what real estate investor wouldn't want that, right? I mean, that's so cool. So what types of business credit would be most beneficial to real estate investors? This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
my favorite is the credit line. Now, a credit line is not a credit card with convenience checks. So let's just be clear about that. A credit line is a credit line where you have checks, where you can write a check to your checking account, to a offer, and that check is viable right then and there. Right now, the inventory moves so fast, they're literally requiring cash offers, right? I want to know a cash offer. There are mortgage companies out there right now that have stepped up and are even offering cash offer mezzanine financing, right? Just enough to get in there. You've got 10 days to cash this out. That's because the inventory moves so fast. So a credit line gives you the least expensive money possible. Right now, they're in the 5-ish% range, 5% on imagine 500 grand, where you can write a check and take down a property, flip it, or you don't have to carry this stuff on credit cards, which are 16-25%. And you take 3 months, 5 months of your flip back on the market, and you cash out plus your profits, right? So the business, so for real estate investors, traditional real estate investors, business credit lines are spectacular. But for note buyers, better the real estate investors that love buying notes, business loans are the same rate, but they're long-term 36-month, 48-month, 60-month low-cost business loans that you can then go buy tranches of paper and turn them into performing notes or resell them, wholesale them out and get your money back. And now you have a tranche of money that has a simple monthly payment that you make through with your cash flow of turning the deals, right? So the beautiful thing about fundability is that it makes you fundable regardless of what you want. We have clients who just want the best auto loan rates, right? I just want the best mortgage rates. Well, if you're fundable, you can knock it out of the park, right? And save literally thousands, tens of thousands on a mortgage just by shaving off an 1/8% because you're more fundable. So those are my favorite instruments for real estate investors.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense. So just a quick question. Can you help real estate investors who aren't able to get mortgages typically? Can you help them, who don't have W-2 income, can you help them get mortgages?
Absolutely. And here's why. Because one of 40 borrower behaviors is source of income. So W-2 is easy street, right? If you got W-2 and you got enough, great. But a replacement for that is like the equivalent of 12 months, 3 months, 12 months of checking account traffic, right? Deposits in, check out, deposits in. So, but your other 39 borrower behaviors weigh in on this decision. So think of it this way. Let's say you have you need 20 points to be approved. You have to have a minimum. Minimum down points. There's minimum DTI points, and you have to hit the minimums. But then there's a whole bunch. Let's say the minimums of the five are only 10. I mean, of the 20 points you need, 10 are the minimums. That means the better the profile can make up the difference. You can have lower downs if you have a better fundable profile. You can have less requirements for W-2 if all of your other metrics are higher in value. Am I making sense? They just want 20 points. They don't care where the 20 points come from to approve you for a mortgage. But we get to build higher values in our by lowering debt to income. We can build traffic in our checking accounts. We can build the higher, not our credit score, but the better or more fundable our profile and the better our 40 borrower behaviors. All those get measured. And if our borrower behaviors are spectacular, then we're bulletproof. They don't have to have, they'll take other forms than W-2, other proof of income than W-2.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That's really cool. So how many people have you been able to help with this so far?
First of all, thousands, but we currently have probably 1,047 clients currently who are in, this process. Some of these clients have been with us for years because they want to stay on. They're not satisfied with 300 grand. They want 500 or a million, right? So they just keep implementing. It's the same formula for every bank. Once you're fundable, you're fundable. You just apply it to all the different banks that you would like to get money from. And so we have over 1,000 clients right now that we have made fundable. And to date, we're over 190 million in fundings, 52 million since COVID, March of 2020. 52 million in these fundings because the principle that we need to understand, take a target, right? A big target. When it's prosperous out there, they will fund way out on the edges. They'll fund anything that hits the target, right? Lenders will. What happens? So our goal, though, is we don't want just any money. We want that super cheap, bullseye, perfect borrower money, right? We want to. So we optimize your personal profile to match their lender guidelines. So now you're a bullseye borrower, right? You're that perfect customer. When the economy, when the banks shrink the size of the target, it's still getting funded. The bullseye borrowers. That's our end game for every single client, is you get approved regardless of the circumstances going on around us.
Yeah. Well, this is so amazing because, you know, I mean, one thing that real estate investors know how to do is to put money to work, right? And so if we're able to get access to more funding, then, I mean, I already know where I would put the capital, right? So
real estate investors are my perfect client.
Yeah, that's so cool. Okay, awesome. Well, so, you know, I think we kind of touched on this, but just to clarify, why is it so difficult for real estate investors to qualify for traditional unsecured bank loans?
Oh, very good. You're going to love this one. I mean, you'll hate it, but you'll love knowing why. So every single business in our United States universe is assigned behind the business owner's back a business code. Some of those codes are fundable. Other codes are automatically unfundable. And real estate investor businesses are unfundable on their face. I had a client who didn't believe me. He was $11 million in the previous year, and he did like $7 million the year before that. He's like, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to pick me up a $200,000 credit line. I'm like, okay, tell me how it goes. And he walks in and all this money, all this stuff, but because he was a real estate investor, they said no to him for unsecured. They did say, well, yeah, let's tap the equity in about four properties. We'll be happy to give you. So he's like, no, I just want it on my financial reputation. No, you're a real estate investor.
And do you have how do you have visibility into that?
Well, because we'll bracket for this. Remind me about where we're going here. Because I happen to have been introduced to the CEO of FICO. And when I met this gentleman at a conference, he asked me what was my business model? And I said, I make borrowers fundable. I make your lenders, because FICO works for lenders, right? I make your lenders. I create perfect customers for your lenders. And then he's like, tell me more. We spent about 20 minutes on this conversation. And then he hooked me up with his personal and business score development teams so those teams could help me know more about what makes a borrower fundable, because I am the only borrower educator on the planet. There's a lot of financial literacy people. This is a risk. This is a checking account. That's not me. This is what lenders are looking for. This is what they're measuring. And this is how you align your behaviors to match it, so you get an approval. I'm a borrower educator.
That's amazing.
And so the reason why I have insider access is because I've, over the last 6 years now, I've built a relationship with trust with the FICO score development teams, and they've introduced me to lender underwriter teams. And so I'm sitting here representing borrowers going, it's like I'm behind the curtain. I get to see the secret sauce being made, right?
Yeah. And their motivation for bringing you in is what?
So that I produce their perfect customer. People ask me all the time, do you have lenders that you can refer me to? I'm like, when you're fundable, I have a gob of lenders who would die to have you as their customer because they trust exactly what I'm doing to build their perfect customer.
Yeah, that's so helpful. That's really awesome. Okay, so where we were going, we were talking about, yeah.
Yeah, so now let's go back to why real estate investors are not fundable. Because a lender likes to know, it's called use of funds, right? They want to know how you're going to use how you're going to use the money. So if you say out of the gate, you say, give me 100 grand, and then I'm going to go give that to somebody else, and you don't get to vet where that money goes, that makes lenders nervous. So we have a process that we teach in my boot camp about how to build a funding company that is different than your real estate company. And the principles of fundability apply to this funding company, and lenders will lend to this funding company. And then you get to legitimately lend to your, what we call client companies or your real estate deals or whatever. But you present yourself as an entity. It's not a holding company. It's a qualified fundable entity. And it fits the lender guidelines because I only do what lenders want us to do to give us money. That's the whole point of my role in this space, right? We introduce a new funding model to real estate investors so that they get to level up their game from being a real estate investor to becoming a business strategist, advisor level individual, which lenders love lending to.
Interesting. Okay. So here's a question for you. So say you have somebody who comes to you who has W-2 income and who wants to do more real estate investing as an LP or, you know, like as a limited partner, can someone like, you know, like do passive investments and syndications? Can someone like that come to you?
Oh, absolutely. Because what we do is help them build. I have one of my, she's become a friend, but she does nothing but syndications. And she sends her clients to me because they want more money to put in the deals because she has an amazing track record for delivering amazing returns. So exactly what you're speaking to is that she wants to, Meryl, how can my people get more money? And I introduce, like I said, in my training, I introduce this process that lenders love to fund and real estate investors love to invest from.
So like literally someone who's a teacher or a doctor or a lawyer or a dentist just gets W-2 income, like they can get business lines of credit.
That is correct.
Wow. That is amazing. I mean, yeah. And so that's working with your friend.
Hugely. And like I said, I have over 1,054 or 57 clients who've all received funding already in this very process using this exact formula.
That's awesome. Yeah. Very, very, very interesting and valuable. I mean, access to funding is like pretty much the name of the game, you know? I mean, it's really like such an important skill. And I love so much that you're focused on it and have found a way. I mean, how did you get introduced to the FICO guy?
Well, I went to I applied to attend what's called FICO World. Imagine a FICO World is the Mount Olympus of the credit and funding gods and goddesses, right? It's there. It's where they all come. How do we protect our money and still make a profit by lending? So there's almost 10,000 attendees of all over the world of lenders, their C-suite executives, and all the underwriting teams. Everybody who's making a lending decision is at this conference. And so I was sitting at a table eating dinner, and I don't know how he knew me. I don't know if he knew me already because they vetted us. Because we're not. When you go to our website, it says fundability, right? So they knew I wasn't the lender. He walks up, introduced himself, and we had that conversation. And he immediately took me over and introduced me to the Score Development people who were eating dinner after all the courses or the classes that we had. And that's where the ball started rolling.
Well, that is, that's very awesome. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Merrill. What else have we not talked about on this topic?
I have 2 days worth of topic I'd be happy to tell your people about.
Yeah, no, totally. I'm sure you have, I'm sure you have a lot of extra information there's way more depth that we could go into. Is there anything else like on a high level that we should, talk about before we start to wrap up?
Okay. I do want to say one thing. Another place we've been lied to is business credit is not necessarily business credit. There are wolves in sheep's clothing. So here's a perfect example. I define, and anybody who's legit in the game defines business credit as credit that does not report to your personal profile. Because if it reports to your personal profile and you use it, it changes the utilization, lowers your score, ruins your fundability, even though it says business on the credit card. Perfect example. Spark from Capital One, not a business credit card. I don't care what it says on the statement or on the card, it reports to your personal. So guess what? Every time you're being a good businessman or businesswoman and you use it, imagine people who are flipping on a Spark card, it's ruining their personal profile by raising their balances and lowering their fundability. Discover has a business credit card that reports to your personal. Synchrony Bank, Elan Financial. There are literally hundreds of lenders who say it's a business credit instrument and it reports to your personal. So it is not, in truth, business. So I would counsel your listeners to, we have a philosophy. I teach my clients, I teach my students. You never want to get a business credit card or credit line that reports to your personal. So you want to follow this formula. You call the customer service number, you call until you get the same answer 3 times from 3 different people. For example, does this credit card report my balances to my personal account? If somebody says no, you call again. Somebody says yes, and they're horribly trained. They don't know the answers to these things. So now you got 1 and 1. You call again. Yep. Oh, no, we don't. Call again. No, we don't. That's likely to be the truth if you get the same answer 3 times. Guys, it's not calling 3 times. Get the same answer 3 times and never choose a business credit card or credit instrument or business loan. If it reports to your personal, you're just going to jack up all the borrower behaviors that we talked about are so important and is what is in charge of getting you approved.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. Really important information. Well, Merrill, thank you so much for coming on and just talking about such an important topic. It's definitely blowing my mind and I'll definitely be following up with you because, I love to put money to work. And thank you so much. Please give the listeners a way to learn more about you. I know you've got some events coming up and anything else.
You can go to getfundable.com and getfundable.com will show you my book. It's free to you. Just tell me where to send it and pay for shipping. It's free to you. It's called The New F Word. Fundability. Or my bootcamp, which is if you go to getfundable.com, click the bootcamp and just read the reviews. You're going to see people just like you, real estate investors just like you, who thought they knew what was going on, but were getting, we call them funding landmines. You're walking along and you just blow yourself up. You have no idea why you didn't get approved. No idea whatsoever. This bootcamp will tell you the reasons why you're not getting approved and what to do about it. It's 2 days. And it's always posted on GetFundable. Just click on the bootcamp button on getfundable.com. You'll see the next days, the times, places, how to sign up. And it's so inexpensive. Oh my God, I'm just giving it away. So just check it out and see what we're about. And we'd love to see you at our next bootcamp.
Awesome. Well, I hope you all check out GetFundable and Merrill's work. Thank you so much, Merrill, for coming on. Such a pleasure to have you. And we will see you all next time.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction.
Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.